You are listening to a podcast from Calvary Church in Delran, New Jersey. Our mission and hope is to help people follow Jesus and experience the true life that is found only in Christ Jesus. Enjoy this podcast today.
Hey, stand with me. Let's go to John chapter 8, verse 31. This is verses that we've kind of been using here lately to kind of springboard us into what the Lord has been saying to us. Go ahead and stand with me. John chapter 8, verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him. So there were those who were starting to believe in Jesus as Messiah. And this is what he said to them. Here's how you know if you're really my disciple. Here's how you know if you're really trusting me. If you continue, if you hold to, the idea is if you practice and obey my teaching and you continue to do so, that's the idea of the word here, he says, then you're really my disciples. Not just that you say I'm Lord or that, yeah, I believe you're Messiah or yeah, I believe you died on the cross for me. No, Jesus said the way you know you're really a follower is when you start living out and practicing by faith the teaching that I am giving you. And look at what Jesus says. And when that happens, you will know the truth. You will know the truth, not intellectually. You will know the truth in the sense of experiencing it. You will experience the truth of God's provision as you learn to follow his direction. You'll experience God's presence as you worship. You will begin to know the reality of it. Its truth will be something you personally experience when you begin to practice this. And he says, look at what he says. Then he says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they said, well, what are you talking about? We're not slaves. We've never been slaves to anyone. Well, that wasn't exactly accurate. Then historically, they had been slaves, and even present, Roman soldiers could compel them to do whatever they wanted them to do, and they could not say no. So they weren't really acknowledging the truth, but they were thinking one way, and Jesus presses on to help them understand what he's saying. He says, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. Is there anybody in the room this morning who has broken the law of God in your life? May I see your hands? Anybody lied? Tim Whitaker, you need to have your hand up. Okay, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. Okay. Yeah, we've all broken the law of God. Guess what? That makes us slaves of sin. And what Jesus's point is when we really begin to trust him and give our lives to him, the living resurrected Christ comes to live within us and set us free from what? Our own sin. So we can live the life God really designed and made us to live. Can I get an amen? All right, before you're seated, going to do this. I want you to turn to somebody and tell them this. I want you to fill in the blank. When it comes to following directions or instructions, I do best when? When it comes to following directions, I do ask when. Go ahead, tell somebody before you're seated. Thanks for doing that. You can be seated. Thanks. I love to hear you do that. It's so awesome. I love to hear you talking to each other and laughing. It's good stuff. Amen? Amen. When it comes to following instructions, I do best when there's pictures. I need simple stuff. I'm kind of visually oriented, so man, give me a good picture. I'm way better off than give me a long sentence. Are you with me? Well, Jesus was very clear in his instructions for us. You can't miss it. I mean, Jesus' instructions were so crystal clear about who we are and what it is we are actually supposed to be doing. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me." In other words, I'm the ultimate ruler of all things. You may not see me ruling at the moment. It may not look like I'm ruling, but I am. All authority has been given to me, and Jesus is going to come back to earth. Jesus has promised that he will come back, and he's going to work out everything in conformity with the purpose of God's will, Ephesians 1:11. He's going to consummate history. He's going to make everything right that's wrong right now. Jesus is coming. He is all authority, and he is coming back. Amen. not to save, but to bring judgment and righteousness to earth. We live in the time of salvation. Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Are you with me? All authority has been given to me. So what? So, he says, go make disciples. Pretty clear. What are we supposed to be doing as a church? What am I supposed to be doing? What are you supposed to be doing? Making disciples. And what is a disciple? A disciple is a person who has a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, who is learning and living and practicing the teaching and the lifestyle of Jesus. A disciple is an apprentice, a protege. A disciple is one who is learning, a learner becoming, a learner who is subject to a master who's training them to live a certain way. Jesus wants us to train others to live as Jesus lived. That is what we exist for. It's the only reason we exist. It's why we come together on Sunday morning. We don't come together just to sing a few songs, have goosebumps, and go out and live however we want to live. That's not the point. The point of coming together, the reason we sing, is to encounter the living God. The Bible says God dwells in the praises of his people. In other words, God becomes actively present as we worship him, as we bring our minds to think and to ponder the words we're singing and truly from our hearts express our faith to him. God shows up. Jesus said, I'll be here when two or three of you get together. There are so many Sundays when Jesus is here and you ignore him. You ignore him because you don't focus your mind and heart on what we're singing. You don't engage in the worship. Why? Because you just feel tired. You don't want to do it that day. And so you just stand there like a bump on a log. And you miss the power of what God might want to do in and through you, not just for you, but for this congregation. Well, that wasn't in my notes originally. Sorry. Kind of slipped out there. We're here to make disciples. If we're going to make disciples, our mindset's got to change a little bit. How many of you know that American gospel is not always the same as biblical gospel? It's different. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says, we should not conform to the pattern of this world. The word pattern there is the word where we get schema, schematic, drawing. It's like a blueprint. What's Paul saying? He's saying the Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul saying, don't let the world tell you how to think. Don't let the world tell you how to live. No, be transformed. It's the word where we get metamorphosis. Be completely changed into a different person. How? By the renewing of your mind as you come to the Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, the Word of God that produces faith, and you depend on the Holy Spirit to teach you that Word and show you. Let the Word of God transform you into a different person so you think like a citizen of heaven instead of a willy worm down here on earth. Hallelujah. We are soaring butterflies for Christ when we begin to let the Spirit of God change our thinking. Can I get a one little amen there somewhere? That's why we're here. It's the only reason we're here. So our thinking's got to change. We got to stop thinking cruise ship and start thinking Coast Guard rescue ship. You got to stop thinking customer on that cruise ship and start thinking crew member on the Coast Guard ship. That's what we talked about last week. If you aren't here, I encourage you to listen to last week's message. Catch the podcast. Too many Christians think of church like a spiritual cruise ship. I'm going to find the one that's got the best buffet. One that's got the nicest pool. Got all the programs I want for me and my family. That's not how you shop for a church as a follower of Christ. As a follower of Christ, you say, God, where do you want me to serve and give my life and give what you've given me to be able to make that church the Coast Guard ship that it needs to be? Amen. We're crew members on a Coast Guard ship that's rescuing people from earthly vanity and eternal torment. We are not a cruise ship to make you feel good and give you spiritual diet. this is sounding harsh. Sorry, I don't mean it that way. But that's why we're here. We're here to save people. All of us together working to make disciples, people who follow Christ. I grabbed a book when I was going on vacation. I just kind of arbitrarily looked in a bunch of books I had and grabbed one. The title was Free of Charge, Giving and Forgiving. And I began to read it and really enjoyed reading it. And I got this quote from this book. It says, Christ's indwelling presence in us has freed us from exclusive orientation to ourselves. He frees us from selfishness. He frees us to look and consider others. And he has opened us up in two directions. One, toward God, to receive the good things in faith that God has for us, and toward others, toward our neighbor, to pass those things on in love. You and I are never to be reservoirs. We are not reservoirs of truth. The goal is not to get more Bible knowledge so you can just impress everybody with how much knowledge you have. The goal is to let the Word of God shape and change you and practice it so that you give what you have learned away to others so they can be changed and shaped for God. It's always passing through, never hanging on to. The Lord has set us free from exclusive commitment, orientation to ourselves, and the flow of His life goes through us. He says we often associate these times together with God's presence, but his point is that God's presence is always with us, not just when we're together. He says this, if we turn from our times of being with God and facing him, if we turn to face our neighbors and the flow of God's gifts, it will continue through us. If we don't, it gets stopped. And others don't receive what God intends. We will miss the purpose of the strength and renewal that came in these moments if we don't turn to pass it on to someone else. He goes on to say, God's gifts flow to others above all when the community scatters, having been nourished in the presence of God. And when we are back home with our families or at work as carpenters and bankers and doctors and waiters or teachers, every word and every deed, every thought, every gesture, even the simple act of paying attention can be a gift and therefore an echo of God's love and life given through us. He says, when you sit at home, beer or soda in hand, and the fast food, and just sit in your easy chair watching television for hours, that's ordinary. But when you get up to play with your kids, or you decide to read the Word, or you begin to pray, that's extraordinary. When you go to work just to get a paycheck, to have a bigger car, a nicer house, to take another cruise, that's ordinary. But when you go with the intent of being able to give to the kingdom of God and bless people with your service and let your work become a ministry for Christ to honor his name, that's extraordinary. And listen to me, that's the idea today. We want to build bigger people here at Calvary Church, not bigger buildings. Bigger people who live for the bigger purpose, who see the bigger eternity, who see the bigger style of life, who see the bigger purpose of loving people, who see the bigger purpose of serving God, who see the bigger purpose of being all that God wants us to be. We want to build big people here at Calvary Church, and that's what we're up to. Why? So that we can make sure no one is without Jesus. Because God is not willing that any would perish. He wants all to come to repentance. No one without Jesus. Bigger people. We want to help you become a bigger person. Okay, great. What exactly does that mean? What does a bigger person look like? I need a picture. We can answer that question in lots of different ways. We could go to the scripture and we could talk about what bigger people do. We could talk about the activities of bigger people. Kind of highlighted some of them right there. We could go to the scripture and we could look at individuals in the scripture like Abraham or Moses or Jonathan in the Old Testament or Joseph. We could talk about Gideon and how they were a bigger person. I'd encourage you to read the word like that. But what I want to do today for a few minutes, I want to take the core values of Calvary Church, and I want to use the core values of this church to talk about what a bigger person looks like. A while back, we had a team of people, some of you were a part of it, that prayed and wrestled and debated and discussed to say, who are we at Calvary Church? What are we here? What are we doing here? I said in the first service that Sal and Carol Maliziano, they attend our church, they attend the first service. Sal is the owner of Chick-fil-A over in Delran. Somebody say, thank God for Chick-fil-A. Come on. And we're talking about how when you go to Chick-fil-A, there's a certain culture. There's a certain feel there. I've been to Popeye's Chicken, and I've been to McDonald's, and guess what? The feel's different. When you go to Chick-fil-A, it's a pleasure to be served. When you go to Chick-fil-A, there's the same product, and you get this sense that, hey, they really are trying hard, and the place is packed. Why? Because people like that quality, that service, that love. That there's a certain culture. Feel is a big deal. If you go to Disney World, there's a certain feel about Disney World. We went there last week. I'm at the age now, I don't want to go ride Space Mountain anymore. I'm too old for that. It jerks my back around. I can't take it. I used to like it. We were there last week, and we didn't buy tickets to go to Disney World, but we drove over there, and we just drove over and walked into one of the nice, fancy hotels. And as soon as we got on the property, it's just like, oh, yeah. Bands playing, nice music. Oh, it's just the atmosphere. Are you with me? We know what we're supposed to be doing, and every church ought to be doing this, making disciples. The question is, how, what's the culture? What's the feel at Calvary Church? What are we trying to do here at Calvary Church that's different from other churches? Not better, just different. We're all different. We're all going to do it different, but what's the culture here? What does a bigger person look like that we're trying to build at Calvary Church? Number one, bigger people initiate and grow healthy relationships. Relationships. We want to build you to be a bigger person who grows in healthy communication, who learns the skills of relationship and communication and grows and works at initiating and growing healthy relationships. This is what Jesus did. Jesus didn't just roll up in a big old bus, get out of the bus and pop up on the stage and do his thing and then run back to the big old bus and off he went. No, Jesus was constantly initiating relationships with individuals. Individuals that other people didn't want anything to do with. And so Jesus, on his way to die for the world in Jerusalem, on his way to die for you on the cross, Jesus is walking along, and he looks up in a tree, and there's a guy that everybody hates. He's a tax collector. Can I get an amen on that? Tax season is upon us. But it's not just the taxes. He's seen as a traitor to the nation of Israel. And in addition to that, he's kind of a little short guy that nobody thinks much of. But Jesus stops under the tree, and he looks up, and he says, Zacchaeus, I need to stay at your house tonight. On his way to die for the world, but he stops to initiate relationship with one. Why? Because Jesus cared more about saving people than he did about saving his reputation with pious, religious, self-righteous people. He didn't care what the religious leaders thought. They could call him a friend of sinners all they wanted to. Jesus had come to seek and save the lost. Relationships, initiating, taking the first step to reach out, to walk across the room and introduce yourself to someone you've never met. We want to build bigger people here. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you just don't understand. I am an introvert. I am just a behind-the-scenes person. I just did not get that gift of gab. I just don't have it. Well, let me give you some good news. Neither did I. I'm an introvert. I get tired of being the leader. I don't want to be the leader. But Jesus just keeps telling me, too bad, do it anyway. But I've learned, I've had to watch and learn how to do it and get over my own fear and insecurity. Insecure most of my life, still battle it from time to time. But we can't hide behind our fear. We can't hide behind our personality. Well, I'm just a behind-the-scenes person, therefore I don't have to be friendly. I can stand against the wall and not talk to anybody. No, we learn, we grow. I used to watch my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law just has that thing. He's like a people magnet. Are you with me? I mean, I used to watch him. It just amazed me. Like, how does he talk that much? I don't know how to talk that much. Surprised that most of you here come here and listen to me talk every week. But in those situations, I learned how he asked questions. I watched what he said. I watched what he did. And I thought, okay, I can do that. And I began to practice those skills that weren't, I didn't feel natural, but as I began to practice, I began to grow. Listen, you can do this. You need to do this. You know why? Because Jesus Christ has called you to save other people. He wants to work through you, and that means learning how to talk and communicate and love people one at a time, just where they are, for who they are. It's an amazing thing. I was watching the news the other night, and they gave this new survey, and they've surveyed Americans, and they've discovered that 2/3 of Americans feel lonely, disconnected, not loved really, just lonely, 2/3 of Americans. And if they're on social media, you know, scrolling and doing the Facebook and the Twitter thing, if they're doing all that, then it goes up to 73%. All of that interaction on the media, all that watching the social stuff, it makes us feel lonelier, more anxious, and less connected. And you know what? They came up with this absolutely brilliant solution. You know what it was? Spend time talking to somebody face to face. Oh, okay. It's about relationships. It's about loving people. It's about learning to talk and listen. If you grew up in one of those homes where everybody was blasting everybody and yelling at everybody and screaming and hollering and swearing and calling each other names, then okay, you got to not hide behind that. You can't just let that affect you. You got to learn to ask the Holy Spirit to help you get over that and begin to learn how to calm down and be a person who relates in a right way. You grew up in a home where nobody said anything. They're afraid to say anything. They never talked about anything. You need to open up. You got to ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart to become a bigger person for Jesus Christ. And walk across the room and shake somebody's hand and say, hey, my name's Ryan. What's yours? I said Susie in the first service. Ryan came up to me in between. He said, Pastor, I got a bone to pick with you. I went to 3 different people after service. I walked up and said, hi, my name's Susie, and none of them would talk to me. So you don't say Ryan or Susie, you say your name. Bigger people are hospitable people. Bigger people initiate relationships. Bigger people don't wait for people to talk to them. Bigger people take the initiative to try to break the ice. Yes, it means getting over our fears and our insecurities, but it means getting beyond ourselves because Jesus has delivered us from exclusive orientation to ourselves. And so here at Calvary Church, we want bigger people. Number 2, bigger people walk in humility. Bigger people are willing to listen. Bigger people are willing to take criticism and rebuke and own it and admit without becoming angry and divisive or resistant. Bigger people are able to say, hey, I've noticed something in love, and we're able to grow together because of it. Bigger people are humble. I know the world says promote yourself, push yourself. You got to be, Jesus says, take the second seat and let God the Master call you to the greater one. Who will we follow? Will we be conformed to the pattern of the world, or will we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? Will we be disciples of Jesus or disciples of the world? Let's be people who are willing to humble ourselves. And humility doesn't mean we kick the ground and say, oh, I don't have anything to give. I'm just a nobody. I'm really not. If that's a lie. That's not what God says about you. God says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are perfect. He formed you exactly the way he wanted you to be. And he placed you in a body of Christ exactly where he wanted you to be for his purpose. You're important. You're valuable. But so is the person next to you. Humility values differences. Humility is willing to change. Humility is willing to adapt. Humility is willing to be flexible. Humility is willing to cooperate and partner with other people. Humility is willing to say, I'm really good at this, but I am not really good at that. You're really good at that. How about you and me get together, and together we knock it out of the park for Jesus? And so I am not great at being a relational person, but man, I've got a home. I'm willing to offer my home. You're great at relationship. You're great at facilitating. How about we work together and that together we form a partnership and we have a great home group that really ministers to other people. So it's not just about us. It's about somebody else and what God wants to do for them. That's humility. Jesus laid aside all of his prerogatives, all of his glory as God. He became human and he washed dirty feet. That's what we need to do. We need to be willing to initiate relationship, be hospitable and warm and loving people, no matter what people look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter where they come from. I know some people are tough to warm up to. I get it. But Jesus loves every single one exactly where they are, and he welcomes them in. He wants us to do the same. He wants us to be humble people. I would just like to say how proud I am of both our young people in this church and our older people. I just want to throw this in here, and I'm going to start with the older folks. I'm proud of the older congregation here in Calvary Church, those of us who are 60-plus. I'll tell you why. Because when we began to look at where we were going, how are we going to reach this generation for Christ, I was able to say to that board and to say to people in that category, we've had our turn. It's their turn. We've got to change our style. We've got to let them do their thing. We're not going to like it. We're not going to like all the songs. We're going to hate the smoke and the music and the mirrors. But it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the next generation. It's about being humble enough to recognize it doesn't have to be the way I want it. And I am proud of this older generation in this church who has said yes and died to themselves 1,000 deaths so that we can reach this generation for Christ. Thank you, older people, for being willing to be humble for Jesus Christ. And thank you, younger people, for listening to us. I am so proud of the young people of this church. Our young adults, they do their own thing, but bless God, they're willing to take a rebuke and listen. They're willing to ask, and I am grateful for young people who will ask and listen and share and grow. And I watch this thing, and I see Jesus doing something tremendous. Why? Because we've got a culture of humility, and we dare not lose it. We need to humble ourselves, seek God with all of our heart, and let him shape us and change us into whatever he wants us to be. Bless God, that's what we need to be. Amen. All right, I know. You're looking, and yes, there are many more. I'll go fast. Relationships, humility, compassion. Compassion is not just something we feel. Compassion is something we do. We need a culture of compassion that reaches to meet people's practical needs. Like the Good Samaritan who didn't just walk by because they had a church service to go to. The Good Samaritan stopped and did something. And that's what Jesus says we're supposed to be like. We don't just come and say Jesus is Lord and then let people have their problems. No, we lay aside our agendas and our pride and our worries, and we meet one another's practical needs. We care for people around us. We exercise genuine care, being sensitive to and meeting the needs of people. That's called compassion. When Jesus was moved with compassion, he did one of two things. He either met them spiritually by teaching them the Word of God, or he healed and provided food or took care of them physically. That's what you and I are called to do. We need to be moved with compassion to meet both of those needs, physical and spiritual. So we feed the hungry and we tell them about Jesus. We speak up for people who cannot speak up for themselves. That's what prayer and presence is about. You've got a brochure this morning in your card that talks about prayer and presence. That's a group of people on the second Saturday of the month. They go over to the Cherry Hill Women's Center, and they stand outside, and they pray and believe God to speak to the hearts of men and women who are getting ready to murder their children. And it is murder in the eyes of God. It is not health. Every child is fearfully and wonderfully made. Every child is in the image of God. And we've got a group of people who go and they stand and they pray and they believe God to speak to the hearts and lives of those people and to speak to and to work in their hearts, to help them, to touch them. That's called speaking up for those who cannot speak up for themselves. It's called compassion. Compassion doesn't just feel bad for people. It does something about it. We've got people in this church who have kids with special needs. Been unable to come to church because of a child with special need. They're crying out, could somebody just give us a couple hours once a week? Could somebody give us a couple hours? Let us be able to take our other kids out. Let us be able to go out and just get a break for a couple hours. Compassion says, yes, we will. We need bigger people. I need to be a bigger person. I need to be a bigger person who initiates and grows in relationship. I need to humble myself even more and continue to let the Holy Spirit speak humility to my heart. I need to be a person of compassion who acts to help others, not just talk about or sing songs. I need to be a generous person. That's the fourth one. We want big people of generosity. We want people that give freely of their time, freely of their money, freely of their ability, freely of their possessions. People are willing to give it away. Give it away. Listen, following Christ is always a risk. You can't follow Jesus and not risk. It's always risky to give. It's always risky to share. And yet that's where the life is. That's what we were designed for. We were designed to be filled with God and give it away and give it away and give it away. And when we give it away, what does God do? He gives it back in. He gives it back. We give it away. He gives it back in. It's just give, 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 give. That's what it means to follow Christ, being generous. Giving of ourselves, giving of our thoughts, giving of our life, giving of our money. So that Jesus can save the world. We want generous people who are willing to give generously to the Lord. That's why we teach tithing and faith promise. That's why we teach these principles. That's why your board decided to work toward giving 10% of the regular income of this church to missions projects and people in need. We believe in this principle so much, we want to practice it. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do this year. Relationships. Humility, compassion, generosity. And we just want to choose to be joyful people. Now watch this. Not frivolous, fake, happy people. I don't like frivolous, fake, happy. How you doing? Oh, wonderful. God, so good. Just everything's great. Oh. No. genuinely joyful. What is that difference? Joy says, you know, things are not going great, but I choose to believe that I serve a sovereign God who works all things together for good. I believe that he's at work today, though I cannot see him nor feel him. I don't know what he's doing, but bless God, I choose to be joyful. I choose to praise God. I choose to thank him because he's not done yet, and I know that the good is still yet to come. My sovereign God works all things together for good, and I choose joy in Jesus' name. That's what I'm talking about. And then integrity. We need to be people of integrity. We need to be people of integrity in two ways. We need to be people who consistently speak and live according to the truth of God's word. People of integrity don't say Jesus is Lord on Sunday morning and then live in immorality and disobedience to the scriptures during the week. People of integrity, while they are not perfect and while they will fail, they will make every effort to live by the word of God, to submit to others, to help them and pray with them, and begin to get their lives lined up with the truth. The opposite of integrity is hypocrisy. We want to be people of integrity in the sense of living according to the scriptures. Yes, we're going to struggle. Yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're not going to be perfect, are we? But boy, we're going to submit to one another, pray for each other, and ask us to help one another so that we live for righteousness, so we perfect holiness out of reverence for the Lord, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Are you out there this morning? And then we need to be people of integrity in this sense. We need to be people of our word. If you say you're going to show up, bless God, you show up. Or don't make the promise. Don't promise to do something and not do it. Be a people, be a person of your word. Don't overpromise. Let your yes be yes, let your no be no. You say, I'll teach the children. Then show up. Be committed. Be a person of your word. Be faithful. That will shine like a star in the universe in this generation who lets their feelings dictate every behavior. If I feel like going to church, I'll go. If I don't feel like going, I won't. If I feel like praising, I'll praise. If I don't feel like it, I won't. If I feel like giving, I'll give. If I don't feel like it, I won't. That's not Christianity. That's sensuality. Christianity says, I believe God. Come hell or high water, no matter what's going on, as Job said, though he slay me, yet I will serve him because I know there's another day coming. And I'm living for that day. I'm going to be a person of my word. I'm going to do what I say I'll do. And finally, excellence. We want to be people of excellence. That means we give our very best to the Lord. We give him our best. We come to worship on a Sunday morning. We don't sit there like a bump on a log. We collect our minds and we focus our thoughts and our heart and we do our best to sing even though we don't know the words and don't stinking like the song. But we give God our best. We try to enter in. We give God our best. We don't say, I'll teach the kids, and then show up 5 minutes late, having not prepared the lesson, and then read over it quickly to try to do it. Because after all, it's just a bunch of little kids. No, no, no. There are people made in the image of God who need to be discipled for Christ, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and love God, and bless God. You're Jesus to them. So bring your best, or don't bring it at all. Come on. Let's be bigger people. Let's live for the bigger purpose. Let's live for the bigger life. Let's do the bigger thing. Let's live like Christians in a generation that does not have a clue what that really means. Let's be Jesus to this generation. Come on, can I get an amen? Hallelujah.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to our podcast today. It is our hope that Jesus would be the center of your life. And if you had not made a decision to yet follow Christ, Romans 10 says that if we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you'd like more information about our church or how you can get connected, please email us at info@calvarydelran.com. Thank you very much.